Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. As always, great to be in the studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mailbox 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Let's go to the phone callers, Jonathan in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Thank you very much for taking my call. And I know you've been talking about the LGBT situation. And I happen to think about a situation that happened to me a while ago when I was at work. I had this coworker that I didn't know by then that he was transgender, or I don't know like how he considered himself. But there was a TV at work, and there was a show about people who were being born with the male and female parts. So, and I said to him, well, I believe that God made a man and woman, right? And then he said, well, how can you explain my situation? He asked me, right? And I was like, what's your situation? And he said, I was born like with both parts, right? Male and female parts. And I was speechless. I didn't know how to answer to that. And I just said, well, I got to stick to what I believe. I believe man is born a man and woman is born a woman. And, well, I didn't have an answer back then, and I don't think I still have an answer. So what would be the proper or like the most prudent answer to give in that situation?
Well, I think you got part of it right. I mean, God created male and female. That's absolutely an inviolate truth, so good for you. But it's also important to point out that we live in a fallen world, and as a result of living in a fallen world, there are people that are born with congenital blindness. There are people that are born with all kinds of maladies or potentials for those maladies. We live in a world gone berserk as a result of sin. And we have, as a result of that, not only problems within the human being, but also problems within the universe in which the human being resides. So let's think about this for a moment. Intersex, and this is really what your friend was talking about. Intersex refers to a very rare condition. And I think it's worth noting that this is an extremely rare condition, but yet a condition of individuals who are, as indicated by your friend, born with both male and female reproductive organs and sex glands. And in even rarer cases, I mean, this really gets rare, both XX and XY chromosomes. So what happens? There's a medical treatment for this disorder, and it can involve the surgical and the hormonal assignment of gender, which ideally ought to be made on the basis of every relevant factor. In other words, those that are making this assignment should take into consideration a wide variety of issues that are involved here. This involves chromosomal issues, neurological issues, psychological issues, behavioral issues, and much, much more. So again, these are the kinds of things that happen in a fallen world. In the particular case that we're talking about, it is very rare, But as your friend has indicated, it is not non-existent. So what happens in this case is you have to take every single factor that you can into consideration and then be involved as a doctor in assigning a sex to that particular individual. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Thomas in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Hi, Thomas.
Hi, good evening, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
You mentioned, I listened to one of your broadcasts, and you said that mankind and angels have free will. And I just wanted to ask you where you determined that angels have free will in the Bible.
Well, it's a theological deduction from reading the whole of Scripture. So you have angels that are created in such a way that they can worship God or do otherwise. And some of the angels continued in their worship of God while others did not. The theological deduction from that is that angels have free will. And to this day, we have both, according to the panoply of Scripture, fallen angels, the chief of which is Satan, and those who are unfallen, or those who continue to be messengers of God, those who continue to worship God, the very thing that created beings are designed to do. We have been created in the Imago Dei, and we also have the ability to either love God or not to love God. If we did not have volition, if we didn't have the ability to choose or to choose otherwise, then love would not even be part of the equation. But love is part of the equation, starting with the love that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have for one another, and the love that we have for the one God who has loved us so much that he has provided a way of reconciliation.
Right. I'm asking because I've studied in some of your writings on, you know, the Nephilim, interpreted giants, men of renown, and you disagree. You think that's the line of Cain versus the line of Seth that crossed over. God warned all the time, remain separate. And if anyone wants to come into the house, the camp of Israel, they have to adhere to the laws of God, right? But the Book of Enoch was not part of canon. And the whole storyline within the Book of Enoch is about the fallen angels. How much credibility do you give to the Book of Enoch then, since you're disagreeing with the Nephilim as a result of fallen angels?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with some of what is written in the Book of Enoch. And not only that, but the Bible does. And that's never a problem for me, or it shouldn't be a problem for you or anyone else. Why? Because all truth is God's truth. And so, for example, in the book of Jude, you have Jude quoting from the book of Enoch because he's quoting there a truth that is inviolate. However, the idea that angels can have, or fallen angels in this case, have sex with women goes against the whole tapestry of Scripture. The tapestry of Scripture is always about kinds reproducing after their own kinds. So the notion that an angel that does not have physicality and cannot produce physicality apart from God's creative prowess, that such a fallen angel can have sex with a woman is a sheer function of mythology, not a function of theology. So you find this in the mythologies, but you will not find this in Scripture. In fact, if you look at Genesis, what is Genesis chapter 6? It's not a judgment on hybrids. It is a judgment on a fallen human race. And the context of Genesis 6 could not be more clear in this regard.
Okay. And can I just ask you this, and Hank? When I read, there's many scriptures in the Bible that talk about all of God's angels and what all of God's angels do as far as being his ministers, ministering spirits, obeying him, obeying his commands. When you read those passages, you obviously then have to just assume that there's another part that are all fallen. Yeah, because, and I just wanted to reference Adam Clark, and I don't use just one scholar, but he took 40 years to write his scholarship, his commentary, and he disagrees with Revelation 12, the word Satan and devil, and the old serpent are descriptive words of pagan Rome. He disagrees with Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, and he disagrees with Daniel 10 as far as there being some regional, and I read a little bit about what you're accept too, about regional demons around, you know, different areas of the world type of thing. And he says it makes nonsense of scripture not to accept that that's about physical kings, especially one prophesied by God, Cyrus, to release the Jews, and that angels had to go and push the will of the kings, the men, to allow the people to go. And that's similar to the passage where it says that God hardened Moses' heart on purpose to not let the people go so that, you know.
Yeah, you know, we're almost running out of time. Interesting monologue there. But I think one of the things that you will see, and you mentioned at the end of your monologue, the idea of Pharaoh, the Bible actually states both sides of the issue. It states on the one hand that Pharaoh hardened his own heart. It also states in Scripture that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Of course, mercy was the occasion for the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. Every single time God relented and removed a plague, Pharaoh would respond in disobedience. I'm going to have to leave it at that. Interesting conversation. We'll be back with more answers to your questions in just a few moments. Stay tuned.
We are down to the wire. Our fiscal year ends in just days, and it is essential that we finish the year strong in order to continue offering outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, like the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your generous support will make a difference. Will you stand shoulder to shoulder with us? To join us in the battle for life and truth, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. God bless you. The Bible Answer Man will return in just a few moments.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Truth matters because Christianity is rooted in history and evidence. Life matters more because it is the experience of union with God. The goal of Christian life is union with God. All attempts to understand Christianity from a solely rational perspective put us in danger of devolving into a transactional rather than transformational relationship with God. Truth Matters, Life Matters More will equip you to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
The Soviet Red Army won the Battle of Stalingrad. It appeared at first the Nazi war machine would secure the victory, but the Soviets battled back from near certain defeat with extraordinary courage and resoluteness to turn the tide of the battle and ultimately the war. The lesson is that both men and material, people and provisions played a critical role. Willingness to fight and munitions in the arsenal were pivotal. Our contemporary battle for truth against anti-Christian secularists raises the stakes above the significance of Stalingrad. CRI likewise needs military partners willing to stand for truth, along with the financial means to accomplish the mission. Stand with us during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. I do want to mention CRI's support team. People are joining the support team, and I'm personalizing copies of any one of my books to family members or friends. Again, personalizing those as my way of saying thank you for standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. If you have listened for a long time and have never joined the Bible Answer Man support team, consider doing that. If you are an occasional giver, consider stepping it up and becoming a monthly giver. The difference that that would make in terms of reaching people around the globe is monumental. And there are many ways that we do that. I mean, the most obvious, visible way is through our broadcasts and through our podcasts. These kinds of things are visible, but there's so much that is not as apparent, but still goes on 24/7. So please stand with us, shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. Go back to the phone lines, talk to Pam in Williamsburg, Virginia. Hi, Pam.
Hi, good to speak with you. And I do pray for your ministry. You're on most nights with me, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
The concern I have, I mean, there's been a discussion for a while on the LGBTs. And what I'm not understanding, or obviously I don't understand because I'm not an expert, but I do think that what they have in their head, you know, is not matching, you know, what's on their body. And there's, you know, that distinction. And it's never called mental illness. And it's almost like it's taboo, or for some reason it would not be considered mental illness. But when I think about schizophrenia, and again, I'm not an expert here, so I could be way off base, but those folks will take on multiple personalities from what they really are. I mean, their head is telling them one thing, and so, you know, and they can be multiple people. Well, in a transgendered way, I think of them as they're just taking on one other personality or one other person, but it still would be a mental illness. And it just doesn't seem like it's ever treated that way. It's like we want to treat it medically, but not mentally. Am I off base there? Is there something there?
Well, there is a there. I mean, this used to be called a disorder, and now everything has had to be rewritten. So you have these psychiatric institutions having to jump through all kinds of hoops and change what they have written and obscure the past so people don't see how they use terminology in the past. So the word disorder has now been replaced with dysphoria. And again, oftentimes it's not the word that's used, it's the meaning that's poured into the words. You have a now very virulent transition-affirming movement, and they're using the myth that people are born transgender to justify in engaging in what has been well described as a massive, uncontrolled, unconsented experimentation on children who have a psychological condition that would otherwise resolve after puberty in the vast majority of cases. So the institutions that are now promoting transition affirmation are pushing children, and these are not my thoughts. I mean, these are the thoughts, the very well-founded thoughts of a very prominent doctor in the field. They're pushing children to impersonate the opposite sex, and they're sending a whole slew of them down the path of puberty blockers, sterilization, the removal of healthy body parts. I mean, think about that, like double mastectomies. And this is doing untold psychological damage. And there's some data that you can look at. We know, for example, that adults who undergo sex reassignment, and you can look at Sweden as the example because it's among the most LGBTQI-affirming countries, they have a suicide rate nearly 20 times greater than that of the general population. So the point is that sex reassignment is not the solution to what is now called gender dysphoria. So when you ask, am I way off base? I don't think so. I mean, I think that the people that are lockstep in this movement, walking over the cliff, are not only endangering themselves in their academic disciplines, but they're endangering the very people that they're influencing.
I just can't imagine looking back years from now and saying, why didn't we give those people the treatment that they needed? If that's the case, you know, that there's something there that can be treated versus the science project that we're off on here. You know, it's just so sad and so disturbing.
It is disturbing. I mean, this is the experimentation on children. I mean, that's what it ultimately is. And, you know, but here's the deal. If you do not accept a higher authority, if there is no God, everything becomes permissible. Because now truth is no longer determined by some objective standard. It is determined by the size and scope of the latest lobby group. So truth is in a state of flux. And at this particular point in time, in Western civilization, cultural elites have decided that this is the way to go, and if you don't go this way, they're going to call you bigoted, or you're not going to get tenure, or there's going to be some kind of a consequence. So people kind of walk along with the herd.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for standing for the truth and just helping us all find the truth and believe the truth and have a backbone for the truth. Because you do. You feel like you get beat up or you're crazy for thinking what you think. But it's like, I'm more concerned because we're treating them the wrong way when there's probably treatment available that could help them live, you know, wonderful lives out there. And we're destroying them before they even get a chance. And, you know, they're not a petri dish. It's like a science experiment gone wrong. And it just is so upsetting. Thank you again for the discussion.
You're absolutely welcome. It's not like it hasn't happened before. I mean, I mentioned a few days ago eugenics. I mean, this was an experiment in the United States based on a theory, really based on the evolutionary paradigm. So evolution led to eugenics. All we wanted to do was forward the whole process of evolution and not infect the gene pool with less fit genes. So what do? You start sterilizing people. And this became a cultural phenomenon. Everybody bought into it. I mean, in the academic community, they bought into it. In the financial community, I mean, you think about the foundations, the very reputable foundations that poured hundreds of millions of dollars, perhaps, into this whole eugenics myth. And now we've gotten to the point where we don't even want to admit that we ever thought such a thing in the first place. So we've swept it under the rug. It's faded into the shadows of history. We still pay reparations for it, but we don't want to acknowledge it. Juanita in New York, New York, listening on the web. Hi, Juanita.
Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you, Hank? It's nice to talk to you.
Likewise.
I have a question. I was just having a discussion with someone, and they said that they read in the Bible that angels came down and mated with humans, and they had children. And I said, I don't think it's true. I think that you're reaching into mythology when you say that angels and humans can mate. Can you tell me what is truth?
Well, no, what you're saying is absolutely true. And I talked about that at the beginning of the broadcast in response to a question. You know, demons are non-sexual. They're non-physical beings. And as such, they are incapable of having sexual relations and producing physical offspring. And I think to say that demons can create bodies with DNA and fertile sperm is to say that demons have creative power, which is an exclusively divine prerogative. So God can allow an angel to take on physicality for his own purposes. Not only can, but has. But demons do not have that creative power, so they can't produce bodies and then have sex with women. And you're absolutely right to render this mythology. In mythology, the gods came down and they had sex with women. But this is not something that you find in the tapestry of Scripture. You find something quite different. What you find in Scripture is kinds reproducing after their own kinds. And with that, I want to thank the Lord Jesus Christ for sustaining me, giving me strength, giving me the energy that I need to do everything that He has called me to do, and to do it with great joy and purpose. Only when life soon will be past, only what's done for Christ will last. I thank all the people that support this ministry internally, externally. We're making a difference together. We're telling it is, no matter what the cost. It's not about popularity, a platform, prosperity. It's ultimately about an audience of one. We want to hear the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant. So thanks for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Look forward to more broadcasts.
Thank you for joining us today. June is one of the most important months for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. That's because we close out another financial year, and we can do so successfully only if listening friends like you stand with us prayerfully and financially. With your gift, you'll help CRI impact even more lives with God's truth and equip Christians as authentic disciples of Christ. Please call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Winston Churchill once declared, "You may have to fight when there is no hope of victory, because it is better to perish than to live as slaves." Churchill sought to awaken those who were reluctant to fight against the advancing Nazi war machine. Today, a spiritual battle is taking place. New atheism advances in the West, and slavery to secularity is imprisoning more and more hearts and minds in the United States. For this reason, CRI's ministry is critical. But we need people willing to stand for truth, along with the financial provisions to accomplish its mission. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org.